Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Good evening. God bless you. Good evening. I even want some theme music going on. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, DTW Ministries, broadcasting live here on Facebook. We're also by way of Blog Talk Radio on the Purpose Kingdom Network. This is the 1,534th episode. Online number that you can call and dial directly in, 319-527-6091. Again, that's 319-527-6091. And for those who don't have Facebook or you can't get on, you're always willing or you're always can always call in and get that number, and you'll be able to listen through the audio to our broadcast. So without any further ado, we want to definitely open up, as always, in a word of prayer. God, we do thank you and we bless you. Thank you for your goodness, for keeping us. God, for your mercy and your grace. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would have your way tonight. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, we pray, God, that it would be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our redeemer, in the name of Jesus. We are excited today, as always. Anytime that we can share the word, or anytime that we can come on and just talk to you about what the Lord is sharing for us and sharing with us. Because, you know, I what I've understood and what I'm beginning to truly understand and even walk in is that no man is an island. God did not create us to do this thing alone. God did not create us or even call us, you know, to this life alone. But he called us to be a part of each other. And anyone who's dealt with me or talked to me or listened to DTW Ministries, I hope you're getting that sense that I'm about body ministry, that I know that I don't have all of the answers. I know I don't have all the parts, but I believe that God is equipping us to bring parts together with like-mindedness that we can accomplish the mission of the body of Christ, and that is to preach the gospel and to share Jesus with the world. So I'm excited when the Lord gives me something to share, because I think it's always for the body. You know, I think there's enough gospel in there that if someone that might be seeking God, somebody might not even be seeking God, might just came across this broadcast, you know, by accident, you know, that it's enough gospel in there to save a person. But I believe that the messages that the Lord gives me is for those that love him, those that are called to him and called to a higher calling. The Bible says, though hand joined in hand, you know, we can do everything right. We can come together. We can come together in unity. We can come together and get things accomplished. We know even Nimrod, the Bible says in the Old Testament, that when the people had one mind, the word says that God said it won't be nothing that they can't accomplish. They weren't even Christians. They were evil. They were wicked. They were trying to build a tower to reach heaven. And God said, it won't be any come together. I got to go and confuse the languages, because if I allow these people to continue to be unified, to continue to be together with their wickedness, with their mindset, it won't be anything that they can't accomplish. And I often hear that, wow, what a revelation, that if we just have the same mind, if we just have the same goal, if we just have the same vision moving forward, no division, just the same, if we just have the same vision, there'd be nothing that we can't accomplish. And listen, they didn't have the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. We now have the Holy Ghost. And the irony of this scripture is that the people were wicked, and God said there's nothing they won't be able to do, nothing they won't be able to accomplish that they see in their eyes. Anything that they can envision, they'll be able to get it because they were together. But we, We're still struggling walking on the other side of the street when we see somebody that we don't speak to. Saints of God, we got to move past this craziness. We have to move past this hypocrisy to shout on Sunday and don't speak to each other on Monday. We have to pass this craziness of holier than thou, of self-righteousness, because it's the spirit of self-righteousness that makes us think we're better than someone, or someone is so beneath us that we don't even honor them with speaking. We're in trouble when we can shout over foolishness. We're in trouble when we can worship and we're not even speaking to each other. This is why I believe the Lord really gave me this scripture. You know, we always talk about iron sharpening iron. And, you know, the Bible says, and let me get what we have in here, in Proverbs 27:17, it says that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You know, and we often talk about that, and we often talk about that when we're unified. We often talk about that when we're fellowshipping. But the internal revelation of this scripture, iron sharpening iron, you have to look at how does iron get sharp. Iron gets sharp because of the friction that it is with metal rubbing against metal. Metal rubbing against stone, metal rubbing against something that tears it. I love the scripture. I love the scripture because I think about how God molds and shapes us. He doesn't do it and doesn't bring us to himself or into his purposes. The Bible says upon flowery beds of ease, but it's the friction. The problem that we recognize in this illustration of ironing iron sharpening iron is that you have to lose some of yourself. See, when we come together, when I truly love you, when you truly love me and you see me in error, you don't see me in error to separate. You see me in error to sharpen. You're not going to hear me today, but we don't see each other in error to point out the wrong. We see others in error to get us all straight. But we want to use it as a point of self-righteousness. We want to use it as a point of separation. We want to use it as a point of holier than thou. He ain't got it all together. She ain't doing this right. They're not doing this right. Instead of us coming and saying, brother, sister, look, we have to change our behaviors. We have to change our attitudes. Now you'll find out who really wants to serve God when you tell and correct the person, because the Bible says that a wise man hears rebuke and becomes wiser. A strong man hears correction and gets stronger, but the wicked, those that don't want to do right anyway, will get upset. Those that are trying to hide, you find out those who are self-righteous. You find out those who are truly wicked, who really don't have a heart after God. Because if you come in the spirit of brotherly love, talking to a brother, talking to a sister, those that want to do right will receive you. But those that don't want to do right will rebuke you, curse you, separate themselves, who he think he is, who she thinks she is, because of the correction. But we have to move in the spirit of unity. The Bible says, considering yourself. I consider myself. I don't have to move that far. Brother Aaron ain't got to move that far. Because it wasn't but so long ago that that was me. It wasn't because it was so long ago that that was my life, that that was my walk. That when I see a brother, when I see a sister in error, I can go, but I can go in humility, understanding that if it had not been for the grace, if it had not been for the goodness of God, if it had not been for the quickening of the Spirit of God, if it had not been for the Holy Spirit, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, oh, you don't understand how good God's been to me. Yes, God, I can shout right there and just leave right there. I can shout right there just because of the goodness of God. Just because God's been that good. We want to recognize how good God has been in our blessings, in the things that we have. No, it's his love. It's his tender mercy. It's his loving kindness. It's his long suffering. It's his gentleness. It's the fruit of the Spirit that God exemplifies, that God shows in how he treats you and I, that we can come to him as a friend. We can come to him as sons and daughters. We can come to him as sheep needing a shepherd, because he is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Child of God, when we move into the thing, and as we're moving into the things of God, God helps us. We mirror God through the word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, but we all, with open face, as beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. As we see Jesus in the word, as we see the glory of God in the word, as we recognize his truth in through the word coming into our heart, as we meditate, as we study, as we read scripture, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, what happens? We are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. Every round goes higher. Every step goes higher. Oh, my God. Every root goes deeper, because we're being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As God changes our countenance and we're becoming more spiritual, yet we have that treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're not becoming for moving from glory to glory to become spooky. We're not moving from glory to glory to become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We're not moving from glory to glory just to be Christ-like, that people can say, he's a man, she's a man of God, she's a woman of God, he's a man of God. No, we've been given this gift. We've been given this treasure. Why? That we may bring heaven right here where you and I walk, where you and I talk, where you and I live, where you and I fellowship. Because Christ in us, Christ in you and I, is the hope of glory. Heaven's daydream is that God be fully manifest through both of us, through all of us, heart to heart, breast to breast, hand to hand. I might only be a hand. I might not even be a hand. I might be a finger. I might be a toe. Whatever part I'm in, I have to stay in the lane of where I'm calling. I have to stay in the function of where I'm called, because God is calling me to be a friend. And we know that the scripture says that he that is friendly, or he, excuse me, Proverbs 18 says that a man that has friends must show himself friendly. I have to treat people as the golden rule says, as I want to be treated. I have to love people as I want to be loved. And guess what? Even better than that, even more than that, I have to love them. I have to love the unlovable. I have to love the unlovable. I have to reach the unreachable. I have to speak to the unspeakable. I have to move in the things that God is calling, because God is calling light into darkness. God is calling you and I into places that light does not go. But we have to take it, because we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are that friend that God is calling us, that sharpens others, sharpens our friends. How many friends do you have? How many friends do you have that are a true friend, that will correct you, that will rebuke you, that will hug you, that will love you, that will cry with you, that will laugh with you, but get with you when you're in error. They won't hide their rebuke, because the Bible lets us know that open rebuke is better than secret love. It's better to be corrected, my God, than to continue to walk in error with no correction. We find that as God has called us, hallelujah, we find that as God has called us, I had already shared the scripture from Proverbs 11, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But it says, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. When as I read into that, and the Lord showed me that it doesn't say that the righteous won't be punished. It doesn't say that the righteous won't be corrected. But it does say that the righteous shall be delivered. I want to talk to you real quickly that don't know Christ, that are wicked in your heart. You know who you serve. You know that you don't serve the God of the Bible. You know that your life doesn't measure up. And listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that is your portion. But the wicked has no deliverance. Some may get over by, but nobody gets away. And I know it sounds like I'm at the altar call already, but I'm not. I just feel the leading to continue to go in this lane, that as we move for this, because I don't know how long you're going to be there with this, how long you're going to be looking, how long you're going to view this. So I want to hit you with this. Come to know God in the pardon of your sin through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And I'm saying that for that one that just clicked to come in and just going to go out. You know, you're just going to be here for maybe the next 2 minutes. Get to know Christ as the Savior. Accept him into your heart, because God loves you. Psalms 119 says, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Psalms 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. Listen, to all who call upon him in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We want to call on the God when we only need things. We want to call unto God with all types of pretense. We want to call unto God with all type of hypocrisy. But he says, I'm near to them who call on me in truth. Christ is the truth that you need. Christ is the propitiation. Christ is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let me get back to friends. Let me get back to friends. As we move, and that little footnote was in there for someone that I felt was there that might have just listened for those brief 5 minutes. But as we are moving into a friend, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. I had always read that wrong. I have always viewed that wrong, because I thought it was saying that a brother is there just for trouble. But a brother, it says a friend loves at all times, because, you know, you have friends all the time. Every time you see them, they're there for your best interest, a true friend. They're there for your best interest to have fun. But sometimes, you know, you don't get to know your brothers that way. But when trouble comes, you can definitely count on them to show up. As we're moving into the things of God, and what I'm recognizing is that I have to allow, we have to, I know I'm going to get in a lot of trouble, a lot of controversy with this one right here. We have to get out of the mindset to stop running away from people that rub us the wrong way. Sometimes, I know this sounds crazy, but sometimes it's meant that your heart gets broken. I know. You're fighting already. You're fussing at me already on the phone, on Facebook. You're already. But it's sometimes where we need brokenness to use it as an avenue of pursuit to God. I'm going to say in Proverbs, in Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. It was my brokenness where I learned humility. It was my brokenness. Some of us don't get it until our pride is attacked, until we recognize that people will look at us in a different light. Then we begin to humble ourselves. But God wants us to have a constant communion, a constant fellowship with humility, where it doesn't have to, humility doesn't have to come just because we're broken. Humility can be an act and should be an act of obedience just because of our walk and Christ's likeness in our heart. Just because we recognize that Christ was that way, that we choose. This is the strength of your choice. God knows and have made you and I, men and women, mankind, free moral agents. We have a will of our own. How do you know we have a will of our own? Because our will has sometimes taken us out of the will of God. Because we didn't want to do it. Because we didn't want to listen. Because we didn't want to obey. Because we didn't want to conform. Because we chose, not like Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We chose the pleasures of sin for a season. We chose, we didn't know we were choosing for a season. We thought it was for a lifetime. But thanks be to God, who causes us to triumph and always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Thank God that God delivered us from our own will. How will we go back to our will? How will we go back to the thing that imprisoned us from the first place? We have to move into the era of obedience, because we use that scripture often when we want people to do what we want. But moving into obedience is more of a personal walk. I don't like the point of being a leader. I don't often like the point of being a manager or a supervisor, but I often find myself in that position where I'm in charge of other people. I don't like it because I don't like being responsible for people. But I realize I'm not. I realize I'm not responsible in the sense of Christendom. At my job, I am. But in Christendom, I'm not lord over people. I've been called to be their servant. I've been called to be the one who, when they don't do right, that I got to go in and cry. Who wants to do that? Who wants to be the one that goes in? I know our pastor labors for us day and night, as hard-headed as we've been, as complacent as we've been, to put that man of God, and maybe your pastor's a woman, to put that woman of God in a place to cry out, even as Moses cried out, God save, God heal, God deliver, God keep, God strengthen. As God moves us into obedience, it's because of our relationship. We want to discard other people. But as I said in the beginning, God does not call us to this life alone. God does not call us to this walk by ourselves. Yes, it's an individual walk, but there are people in your life that are going to do two things. Some are going to encourage. Some are going to discourage. And guess what? You have to love them both the same. Some are going to lift you up. Some are going to tear you down or try to. And guess what? You got to love them both the same. Some are going to scandalize your name and talk about you in your face and behind your back. Some are going to do nothing but prop you up, support you, and cause you and move you to win and desire good things of you. Guess what? You have to love them both the same. You can't separate yourself from the good and the bad. You can't separate yourself from people and don't think that that's hypocrisy. I don't know where that even came from. Yeah, no, you don't walk around people that you know are wicked and evil, but you don't avoid people on purpose. That's what I'm saying. You don't draw yourself away from people on purpose. Yeah, when you're trying to seek God, the Bible says in James, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We often quote that scripture, but guess what else it says in that same scripture? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify you hearts, you double-minded. Get it together. We have to get it together. There's no time. We all see the signs of the time. We all see earthquakes in diverse places. We all see famines, pestilence. We all see, they had this thing on Facebook. They had this thing on the news where over in Arabia or Saudi Arabia, wherever it was, where they had that plague of locusts. They had that swarm of locusts all over everywhere. Listen, as we move into the things of God, child of God, it's time to draw nigh. And I recognize that as you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. As we come closer to God, our relationship with others should get better, not worse. If you're saying that you're growing in God and you still can't talk to your brother or sister, if you're saying you're growing in God and you can't get along with the person beside you on the pew, so you move yourself to the other part of the church, listen, if you see a person and hate, some kind of ill feeling begin to stir up in you, guess what? It ain't them. You have to deal with that in you. You have to deal with that. Whether you go and talk to them, listen, I don't know what it is about you, but every time I see you, I get upset. We're not that honest. We don't want to be that honest with people. We don't want to be that honest. They might say, well, I never liked you either. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of reasons why we don't talk to each other. But a friend sharpens a friend. Whose friend are you today? The Bible says, if we only bless those who bless us, what benefit is that? The Bible, King James said, what thank have ye? Do not the publicans and sinners do the same? If you do good only to them who do good to you, what benefit is that? What thank have you? What praise do you say you have? What Christ likeness do you say you have if you only bless and benefit those who do the same for you? Sinners do the same. We are not the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are of the commonwealth of the household of God, the commonwealth of Israel. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. I want to say that one more time because I want that to sink. We are the body of Christ. We want to use that portion of Christ where, you know, he turned over the money changers, you know, and he chased out those that were making mockery and a marketplace of the house of God and not doing it or using it for its purpose. We want to use scriptures like that to throw people out. The Bible tells us, let the sheep and the goats grow together. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. And the angels, those who are purposed to separate, will separate in the harvest. I want to challenge every Christian. I already got a challenge. I got a challenge for every week, every day. I get people that call me that when I see their name, when I see their face, when I see their number, I don't want to talk to them. That's a confession. I don't want to talk to them, but I have to. When I hear their conversation, I don't want to be nice. I want to rebuke them. But I got to talk. I got to be nice. I got to be lovable. I've got to be Christ-like. I've been trying to ask brothers about the conversation, trying to find and figure some way out of it. But I have to be Christ. If you're not willing to be Jesus for somebody, who will they ever see Jesus through? In Acts 17, it says, they would seek God when Paul was on Mars Hill and he seen that they were superstitious, he said, I see that you are very superstitious. In other translations, he say that you are very religious. You know, you got this thing to the unknown God. And Paul's desire was that they would seek God. And it says in Acts 17 that they would seek God if perhaps they may feel for him, it says in the King James. In the NIV, it says grope. And I like that translation a little better because groping for something lets me or gives me at least the visual illustration that it's because I'm blind or I'm in darkness and can't see my way. So I'm groping for him. Groping for him and find him. Listen, though he's not even far. So he's not far away, but yet they're groping for him. And I always use this illustration. I always give Calvin, Reverend Myers, the credit because he's the first person that I heard say it, that God is not perceived. God is revealed. If God doesn't reveal himself, we're all groping for him. But God has chosen to reveal himself through his son. My God, that's some good stuff right there. He has chosen to reveal himself. Other than that, we are just as these religious people were at Mars Hill, groping in darkness, groping because of blindness, groping because as much as you're looking for him, as much as you're searching for him, until he manifests and allows himself to be known, you'll never find him. That what a tragedy. What a tragedy to be close to God. It says here in verse 27, and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. What a tragedy to be close to God. To be next to God even, to be in arm's reach of God. But I'm still groping. I'm still feeling around the room. I'm still lost in darkness. I'm still lost in my blindness that I can't even perceive that he's right there in front of me. Listen again, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart. And save such as be of a contrite spirit. If you truly desire God in your life, God is very nigh you. In Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, it says, the word is nigh you. And even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. God called us to be friends to one another. There are people who do not come to church because somebody wasn't friendly. They say, well, they still go to the bar, yeah, because they're still getting what they want. They're still getting what they desire. One thing that I saw about a bar right down on Cecil B. Moore Avenue back in the day next to the Free Library, only on half of the block and only on one side of the street, there were three bars. The library took up half. Then there was shacks, buildings. Then there was a bar, then a laundromat, then a shoe repair shop, then another bar, then a nail salon, then another bar. And no one looked at it as excessive. They were all filled. They were all packed. They all had crowds of people on the outside. They were all laughing and having a good time. And they all knew each other. We can't even get auxiliaries to talk to each other. God is calling us to be a friend. God is calling us to be a body. God is calling us to be a family. God is calling us to be the body of Christ. God is calling us to be the light of the world. God is calling us to be the salt of the earth. God is calling us higher in him. Friends of iron, I'm calling you forth today to sharpen your brother, sharpen your sister. Does that mean to start going upside people's head and just start telling people, well, the devil is a liar? That's not what that means. That doesn't mean take every opportunity to try to correct somebody that's not doing things the way you think they should be. But to have honest conversation. It starts with a conversation to someone. It starts with, listen, praying for someone. Before you open your mouth to rebuke somebody, make sure you're praying. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure your motive is right. Make sure your fellowship is right. And I'm doing this image in the camera on Facebook. Those that are on the radio can't see. You have make sure, so those that are on the radio broadcast, make sure that your vertical communication, that your vertical fellowship is right. Then your horizontal. We want to make sure that our relationship with God is right. As we love our brothers, as we love our sisters, as we move forward in God. So that's my challenge for you tonight. And I'm done. I'm done. I know it wasn't going to be before you long, but I thank God for you. I thank God for those who have tuned in and are viewing. Listen, there's a song we sang years ago, Hezekiah Walker. I don't hear it sang that much anymore. I think we need to bring it back. I need you. You need me. We're all a part, listen, of his body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. As society says, we don't need anyone. Everyone wants to be a boss. Everyone wants to be a baller. Everyone wants to show themselves successful and independent. But children of God, we're not the world. I need you to survive. I need you to sharpen me. I need you to help strengthen me. I need you to encourage me. The good part of that is that if I don't, I can encourage myself in the Lord, my God. Hallelujah. But we still, just because I've been called and been able to do that, doesn't mean that that's the norm. That's what it should be. God put us and tempered us as his body. Why? Look, we need, I would challenge you to meditate on 1 Corinthians 12, where it says that he did that. He made the most uncomely parts to have a more abundant comeliness. Maybe that's why a person like me, God moved into ministry, because people know me. People say, what? If God can use him, oh my God, I know he can use me. He has bestowed, why? That there will be no schisms in the body. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing to knock down our pride, to knock down our arrogance, to knock down our self-righteousness. God knows what he's doing to do those things and to move those things out of our lives. Listen, and a good part about that is once we begin to recognize that through our spirit into our intellect, we can begin to start walking in obedience to that. Where now, the next time, he ain't got to go upside our head. He ain't got to take out the whip of correction. He ain't got to take out the rod of correction. He don't have to take out the rebuke. He can just say, do this. And we say, yes, Lord. I challenge you tonight, if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sin, to turn to Jesus. Turn your heart wholly to him. You might not have a church home, but after we go through this prayer, I'm going to give you some instruction and information on how you can find a church home somewhere where the word of God is preached, that you can hear the word and grow by the word, and that the saints are friendly. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray this prayer with you that I'm going to ask you to repeat. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. It's a prayer that we had indoctrinated in our church from our former pastor, and we still say it to this day. I've been hearing this prayer in my life for, I ain't going to tell you how old I am, but for a few decades. I don't care. I'm going to tell you it's a prayer that you can pray. And you know how to ask God to forgive you. You know how to ask God into your life. You know how you ask God to save you. But this is something that we've based that is scriptural, that you can confess. And guess what? It's not just a one-time thing. You can confess every time you feel convicted, every time you find or feel that you're not close as you want to be, to say, God, forgive me. God, save me. When Peter walked on the water, he found that he was taking his eyes off God and began to look at the waves and the wind and began to sink. He had sense enough to say, save me. If you aren't at a place where you can pray, you can say just those two words, save me. But I want you to repeat this prayer with me, and then I'm going to pray for you. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Give me of my sin and wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask it in Jesus' name and to his glory. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart and become Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Yes, I see some of the comments. But if you said that prayer and you said it and you meant it, God has done exactly what you've asked him to do. What I want to do is pray for you. Then I'm going to give you some instruction. Then our online pastor and technician will come on, Pastor Toy. But I want to pray with you very quickly. I'll say a prayer for you. God, I thank you for these men and women that have come and given their heart to you. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would move on their behalf. Thank you for saving them. Pray, God, that you would give them tangible evidence of your presence in their lives. Holy Spirit, that you would well up in them a greater desire for your word, that they may grow by the word. God, I pray that you would direct their lives to a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I rebuke the spirit of division, the spirit of disobedience, any vice and any vex that may be on their lives. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would shadow and cover them, that you would create a hedge about them, watch over and protect them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you're in the Philadelphia area, I want to invite you to the Deliverance Evangelistic Church under the auspices, I always like saying that word, of our pastor, the Reverend Glenn Spaulding, and that is at 2001 West Lehigh Avenue. You're always welcome. Our service starts Sunday morning at 10:45. If you're in that area, definitely will welcome you, to come and to join us, and I believe we are a friendly church, more so because I'm there. I'm looking at some of these comments. I still ain't going to say what my aunt told me, but she said over 50 years. We've been saying this prayer for over 50 years. Oh, Dr. Nicole, praise the Lord, Reverend Mac, mom, cuz, Aunt Stephanie. My cousin's family's on here. It's a good thing to have family on board with you. And I always look and see my mom. My mom, she told me, and I believe it, she's my number one fan. So we thank God for you. But at this time, we're going to bring on Reverend Tori Daly. She's going to come with some announcements and some information for you on how to correspond with Purpose Kingdom Network. And then I'll come back with a few more announcements and a benediction.
Hallelujah, God. We thank and bless and praise God for the word that has gone out this evening. Hallelujah, friends of iron. Hallelujah, God. And we bless and praise God for Reverend, I was going to say Reverend Doctor. I might be speaking something coming forward, but for Reverend Aaron Williams and his faithfulness to in obedience to the unctioning of the Holy Spirit and to the word of God. By faith, we encourage you out there who gave your life to Christ this evening to find a Bible-believing, preaching, teaching church or sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Until you do, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us on Thursday evening at 9 p.m. We will be broadcasting another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network with the Healing Hour and the host, Elder Elisha Cooper, and her co-host, Reverend Dr. Christmas. You do not want to miss this anointed man and woman of God. They will be here at 9 p.m. on Thursday evening, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We invite you to follow us via any of our social media pages. We're on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us directly via our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com. Again, that is www.p as in purpose, k as in kingdom, n as in network, pknradio.com. On our webpage, you'll be able to reach out to the individual host of different ministries, as well as reach out to let us know how we can continue to be a blessing to you. You're also able to listen to gospel music 24 hours a day, along with rebroadcast of the Word of God. So we encourage you to join in with us any of those avenues. Reverend Aaron, we thank you and bless God for you for the Word of Christ, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor. Just want to encourage you, as Pastor was giving out the information for Purpose Kingdom Network on Blog Talk Radio, we don't ask for donations. You never heard me lift an offering. But for Purpose Kingdom Network, we are funded through our archives and always try to advocate and to advertise, even push for you listen to the broadcast on live on Blog Talk Radio. And as I said, the archives are there. We've been doing this for 5 years, so it's quite a few different sermons, and lessons or just sessions that are there, and I encourage you to do that and look on blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, and look in the archives for DTW Ministries. I always, I know from here to my house in Georgia, it's 12 hours, so that's a nice drive, to listen back to back to about 12, maybe about, I think about 15 different episodes of DTW Ministries while you're driving from here to Georgia. Maybe you're going from here to Texas, here to Florida, here to California, whatever it is. There's enough word on Purpose Kingdom Network for you to listen to the archives while you're driving. I know you like the music and you want to listen to something soothing, but nothing like the word. So we thank God for you. We're excited. We're excited about what the Lord is doing. Our next broadcast for DTW Ministries will be November 23rd. That's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And we'll definitely be on here. And I already wrote down on my calendar at work what the Lord had gave me. But anybody know me, we definitely going to move as the Lord moves. I don't want to say it prematurely and he gave me something else, because we want to follow what the Lord is giving us. And I don't, I tell you, I really don't like coming on here. But I have to do it. You know, I have to, you know, be obedient. You know, and I'm finding that the Lord is taking me more and more out of my comfort zone. You know, because some things are easy to do. But then those things that are challenging, you want to try to push them off on other people. But the Lord said, it's you. I'm going to say this, and Brother Donnie says this often. You are the man. You are the woman that you've been looking for. Someone's looking for that friend. You are that friend. Someone's looking for that minister. You are that minister. You're saying, well, I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. You want the credentials, go ahead and pursue it in your church, in secular schools, wherever you have to. But a minister is a servant. If you're a minister and you don't know that, and I'm not saying a servant just because I preach the word, a servant because I serve. If I have to wait tables, if I have to take out the trash, whatever I have to do, I'm here to serve. Preaching is just part of servanthood. The rest is being a friend. The rest is having a listening ear. The rest is being pliable and not cantankerous or obstinate. Some people use words just to move you to compliance. Not because you're in error, but because you disagree with them. God is calling us higher, saints. My final challenge for tonight, November the 9th, 2021 at 9:52. Answer the call. How do I answer? I say yes. There's a song by, it's not Whitney Phipps, I can't think of this guy's name, Larnell Harris. The name of the song is I Miss My Time With You. And the song just simply says, there he sits, just waiting, in an old familiar place. But there's an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait, to be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day. And by again, but I clearly heard him say, I missed my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me if your spirit's empty? There's a longing in the heart of God, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. Is it true? Does he miss his time with you? God, I thank you and I bless you for you being that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I pray now for every man, every woman that considers themselves or calls themselves a friend. God, you said they must first show themselves friendly. God, I pray that you would protect their heart, protect their spirit. God, as the enemy would try to destroy them, that they may turn cold and callous towards others. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And I pray that your love, yes, God, your love would flow heart to heart, breast to breast. That your love, God, yes, your love. Oh, yes, God, that you would give to them in abundance, that you would anoint them again with the oil of gladness above their fellows. For those who have purposed to be a friend in this world, in this life, in this call, in this walk, in this body, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Again, I want to encourage you, hallelujah, to keep going on with God and in God. If you're not doing anything this Sunday, we'd love to have you. 1045 2001 West Lehigh Avenue at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church. Again, where our pastor, the Reverend Glenn Spaulding, will be preaching a word. The choir will be singing. We're going to be worshiping. The presence of God is going to fill the place. My God, I tell you, I get so excited when Sunday's coming. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. But you don't have to wait till Sunday. Hallelujah. God is a present help in time of trouble. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Listen, if you're not preparing God to see God, if you're not preparing to meet God, God is preparing to meet you. Be ready when he comes. God bless you. We'll see you in church.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.